Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This episode of the 909 podcast is brought to you once again by One Sonic. One Sonic are the only Irish designer of personal audio tech, and they got a deal for 909 listeners. One Sonic are launching their Black Friday sale on Friday 19th of November with discounts off their entire range of earbuds, earphones and headphones. So whether you're looking for your Christmas presents early or you're looking to get new earbuds for yourself, no shade, now is the time. Check out their shop on onesonic.com for the Black Friday sale.
I'm your radio show.
Hello and welcome to the Niall or Nine podcast. It is Niall and Andrea here and our little music podcast. How are you, Andrea? How's it going?
It's the little podcast that could. I'm really good. I'm drinking the world. Can you see that? The size of that cup?
It's very big. It's as big as your head.
It says I run on coffee on it. I don't. I definitely don't. Coffee. But I'm drinking the world's largest cup of Twinings tea. So I'm good, yeah.
Vitamin C and zinc buzz.
Oh, I know those boys well. Yeah, they're great. That's, you know, late September, early October, I start stocking up on that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's absolutely rank, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you feeling better after your cold? Because the last time you were on the podcast, you had a little cold.
I did, yeah. I mean, it stuck around for a while. Thankfully, it wasn't COVID, but I still have a slight bit of it. It's been a long sticking around, but it's fine. That's not a big deal. I'm all set for other voices this weekend where we will both be.
Yeah,
doing a couple of different things. You've got a warm-up support act. I know, on Sunday.
You know, when people are coming to see me, do try and get down to see the support act, Sorka Richardson. I really think she's going to do big things. maybe actually I can plug that now that I know the time. If you are at Other Voices in Dingle this weekend, get on down to Foxy John's. Is that it?
The back of Foxy John's. Great pub. It's a hardware shop and they sell, I think they rent out bikes, or maybe they did at one point.
Yeah, I actually need to buy a hammer, so I might buy it while I'm down there.
2 p.m.
Yeah, 2 p.m. on Sunday, but I think it's not ticketed, so try and get there a few minutes early. If you Sorka Richardson goes on at 2, and then myself and Jim Carroll will be doing the arts review of the year from 2:15 until about 3, and then there's loads of other great speakers on after that. So if you're looking to like ease yourself into the Sunday after heavy Friday and Saturday, come down for some nice chats and a little port. And
yeah, it'll be nice because, you know, I mean, Foxy John's is great place for Guinness anyway, but also a great place to listen to people in that room. There's a lovely room at the back where you'll be usually in previous times you'd be squeezing in with everybody else in the doorway and just kind of listening and not seeing anything. So most people who, you know, we just don't know what it's gonna be like this year, but I will try and make it down. I'm DJing in the Hillgrove in Dingle
on Saturday
yeah,
night.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yeah, DJ in between all the bands. So not really at the end or anything like that, but just in between everybody. So from 7 o'clock.
Will you be like comparing as well? Like, oh, huge thing. Give it up for our previous act.
Oh, cool. Wear my glittery top.
Excellent.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. It's going to be a bit of crack. We've got Silverbacks, Shiv, Elaine May, Mango Mathman,
and it'll all be over by midnight to
half 11
the rules.
Half 11
is it half 11 yeah there we go
yeah
and then doors. I'm an 8-minute walk to my B&B, so it's actually going to be so lovely. I'm so excited.
Well, it's funny at the moment, like everything is obviously happening very early on, so you know, we had a Lumo last week, which was early, and it was great crack in the end, and you know, you just can't really like, you kind of feel like you're going to get, like, you're surprised you haven't got COVID yet. I'm speaking for myself. And, like, being out for a month now at gigs and stuff and, you know, everyone kind of
I'll feel very annoyed if I do get it at the weekend, because I've basically done nothing for almost 2 years. And if the first time I step out and see people, I catch COVID, I'll be really upset by that. But hopefully not, because, I mean, you know, you need... you need your vaccination status at the door to get in everywhere down at Other Voices. And they do really, like, with Banter, certainly, they do certainly seem to be accommodating it so that people don't have to be sitting on top of each other and that people can spread out a little bit. And it seems like they're doing it safely because they want to keep artists and their patrons safe as well. Yeah. So, no, it should be lovely. And I'm really, I mean, I used to go to Dingle a lot as a kid on holidays, and I'm really looking forward to just being in Dingle and hopefully like getting up a bit early on the Sunday morning and the Monday. I think I'm going for a swim with some friends on the Monday morning before I go home. Yeah, I'm really excited for that. And I'm just looking forward to like walking around Dingle.
I'm not sure about December.
Oh, well, bring them anyway, because it's incredibly mild lately. Well, no, it has actually gotten a bit cold now, but yeah. Like, think of the feeling afterwards. Like, oh, God.
I know, that's why you do it. Maybe Monday before the drive home would be a great idea.
Yeah, do. Maybe. Think about it.
And have you tried, have you thought about the church at all? Are you going to try and go into the church?
Yeah, I know I'm definitely going to see Sigrid, and I think I'm going to Fontaine's DC.
Great.
Because a friend wants to go to Fontaine's DC and doesn't have a ticket. I could swing a ticket, so I think I'm going to that. And also, I haven't seen Fontaine's DC live, and I have. While I'm not the biggest fan of their albums, although I did quite like their second album, and I've been a bit mean to them in the past, I want to properly, fully make my decision on that band after seeing them live, and I think that that's a perfect place to see them.
Yeah. That's mad. Yeah, you haven't seen them yet.
Yeah,
I'm
really sad I won't be down, because I'm only going down on the Saturday, so I'm really sad I won't get to see Villagers. That's really upsetting, but oh well, the other games.
Well, there's lots on in Dingle, and there's lots coming up on this podcast, and all of it begins.
That was great, Noel.
Begins with a five-letter word. the name, the mononymous name of Adele. She's absolutely everywhere at the moment, and with good reason. It doesn't really matter what we think about Adele in many ways, because, you know, the people have spoken. Her fourth album, 30, came out. It was last Friday.
Last Friday.
3 days to become the biggest selling album in the US this year. 3 days, just 3 days. Obviously, there's a lot of those stories in advance about, you know, how the number of albums she was pressed, that the label were pressing at pressing plants was holding up everyone else in the entire world.
Yeah.
All those kind of stories, you know, and what it seems like there is demand for an Adele album still 6 years after her last one. So we're going to talk about the album, and we're going to talk about Adele and where she's at and what it's like to, I mean, it's been really interesting for me. I found just like all of a sudden having this superstar back and doing superstar things, like doing an Oprah special and special like shows.
An ITV special.
ITV, yeah. I mean, a CBS, ITV, I guess they're equivalent. So I watched some of the ITV special as well, so we could talk a little bit about that as well. But really it's about, you know, an artist who has the power to change things in terms of literally changing things with streaming services, and it's just so influential. And so, and I wonder, I guess, What I'd like to try and talk about as well is whether Adele is a bubble or a vacuum onto herself. I mean, what does she bring to popular music beyond? How is she influential beyond her own popularity? Is she influential beyond her own popularity? Is Adele just living in Adele's world and no one else will ever? Because, I mean, I guess we could talk about the album first. Will we talk about the album first?
Yeah. We might as well come in with the contextual stuff. So the album is 30. Adele is 33. So you can kind of deduce from some very simple maths there that this album was written a few years ago and was delayed with the pandemic. It is basically a response to her very, very public or now very public divorce. Adele also has a child who was going through that divorce as well. And Adele has kind of always used, you know, her age, 21, 25, now 30, as a kind of a jumping off point for her to dive in on an album and figure out where she is at that moment in her life. And I think that's a really nice framing device for an album, because as fans we kind of grow up with her then, if you are kind of a similar age to her, if you're in your, you know, early 30s or mid 30s. So 30's the album, and you know, as would have been expected with Adele, she released Easy on Me to just, you know, completely smashing every record you can imagine across streaming services, across sales, you know, YouTube streams of the music video. Like that song is now on, just looking at Spotify here, 319 million streams, which is kind of insane. I wonder how many million of those are me, because I really, really love that song. I think it's an wow, outstanding song. And we'll get into the song in a bit, but yeah, I think the album. So I was up last Friday very early. I was up at 5:30 in the morning doing the pop reviewer thing. Yeah, and I went back to bed and it was great. But yeah, I didn't get an advanced copy. I think only maybe two publications did. I think The Guardian did, and I'm not sure who else did. I thought I saw somebody else publish something on the Thursday, but anyway, I was up with the other pop reviewers on the Friday morning. And so, you know, the review that was published of mine in the Irish Times, it wasn't billed as being a kind of a first response listen. I definitely got my 5 listens in, or close enough. But I've had a lot more time now with the album. So I do think I have a bit more to say on it, specifically about the music. Whereas I think the first thing that hits you about the album is the lyrics and her voice, obviously, but you're kind of, but because we knew the story around the divorce and everything, you're kind of listening out for, you know, it's kind of like that Taylor Swift thing of like, oh, is she going to name anything, or is she going to have these like really punchy lyrics that are a bit like, fuck you, you broke my heart or whatever. And yeah, like the answer to that is kind of no, there's not a whole lot of like sass on this album, even though there's songs like called I Drink Wine, which is a fantastic song, and it's much better than that title would kind of have you believe. But no, this isn't a sassy I'm back record. This is a checking in record at a point in an artist's life and in a woman's life that has been incredibly difficult, and she has managed to capture it, I think, very beautifully and very effectively.
And what was your relationship with Adele's music before 30? Where were you at with it?
I've always been a really big admirer of Adele as a vocalist, more than anything else. I think that's probably still the same. I mean, I think she's always written songs for vocalists and for people who love good vocals to enjoy. I mean, I can't say the last album was a big moment for me or anything. You know, I liked Someone Like You, but I don't remember being, you know, particularly moved by it or really that bothered with it at the time. And I mean, how many years ago is that now? 6 years ago.
6 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, so I probably just had other music on my mind at that time, or maybe I wasn't feeling it.
Adele's 25 was a big track, wasn't it?
Like, it was, yeah, Hello, and like, I think Adele's 25 was maybe a little bit different to my 25 or my 26 or however old I was when that came out. So, yeah, I can't say I loved her in the early days, kind of dipped a bit in the middle. Mm. But now I've gone back and I've listened to all of her albums, you know, in the past few days. And I really have found, like, I've identified something in all of them that I've loved. And just have this like newfound appreciation for Adele that was always there, but maybe I just didn't nurture it enough, or I didn't give it enough attention, because Adele, when she is doing things, she is doing them everywhere. Which I think is actually really nice actually now, you know, I mean, you can't help but, you know, bring up Taylor Swift, who's kind of the other big pop star of this year. You know, if Gaga and Dua Lipa were the two of last year, Taylor Swift and Adele are this year. And with Taylor Swift, how we get like so little of her publicly, we don't get, you know, interviews unless they're incredibly curated and precise. Whereas it's just so refreshing to have a pop star like Adele not only be so forthcoming with like where she was coming out with the album, be so open about her divorce, which she does not have to be, but she is. And also just like doing those kind of glamorous things like A Night with Adele and just having a bit of crack with it, you know, having a bit of fun and enjoying working in the music industry and being a pop star and not treating it all as if it's this great weight on her shoulders. Like, she really does seem happy to release this album and wants to celebrate it. And that's really nice. It's really refreshing, actually.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I think there's certainly a sense that she's very happy doing this and even performing live. I know, obviously, there's two big gigs coming up next year in Hyde Park, isn't it? It's in London. So, you know, she was kind of, I think she's embracing that again at the moment, where it used to give her a lot of panic you know, anxiety to perform live. She's done a few TV specials. I know TV specials are not quite the same as regular events, regular gigs, especially not when your audience is made up of people like, you mentioned Dua Lipa there, like, you know, Idris Elba and his wife, and, you know, people like that who are just in the audience.
Emma Thompson.
Like Boy George, Emma Thompson. Yeah, he's just like Samuel L. Jackson getting up to ask her questions, you know. So it's very much,
it's
like
a kind
TV
room,
special.
You know, it's a nice room. Yeah. But there's something of the old school about that I think there's something of the old school about Adele. This kind of glitzy, glam, but relatively accessible pop star.
She's the accessible diva. She's the diva who could be your best mate when she takes off her eyelashes.
You know, and I don't think that's a curated image at all. No. Like, I think that she genuinely just stayed humble, to quote Kendrick. You know, I think
that
she really
ITV
did.
That ITV special that I watched a bit of last night, An Audience with Adele, it was inspired by the specials that Michael Barrymore used to do. So that's where it came from.
You know, old school.
So like, you know, they haven't done it for a long time. So it's very much harking back to something that used to happen on terrestrial TV. You know, it was obviously a setup and cheesy as well, some of it, but like, you know, she had like Idris Elba going, have you ever been pulled over in a car? And she had her anecdote ready about it being recognized and all that kind of stuff. I thought the relatable diva, like, she's very funny, and it's like the best part of that show, other than like the music was impeccable, but it was sort of impeccable to the point of I'm not really interested in this, and it was mostly old songs. So I was kind of, you know, I'm listening to her new album a lot this week. So I wasn't really interested as much in that. But, you know, there's a part to start where she's like, she just has a white tea mug beside her and she goes to drink it. And it's like, I asked for caramel. That's not caramel. I was like, I'm not a diva and stuff like that. It's just, she's very nice and very, like, she's very funny and she comes across very well at all times. And very,
she's like
very
a kind
relatable.
Of a Barbara Streisand or something, like just really funny and professional and talented and larger than life and brilliant, but also you could totally have a drink with her. Like, she does remind me of a kind of a Barbara Streisand likability factor, you know.
Yeah, and she just has that, like, lovely manner about her. All right, babes, that kind of like.
All right, babes, yeah, she's lovely. Like, she's so
lovely
nice.
Manner to her. And I think that's a big part of her appeal, but like, and that's what makes her music so reliable as well. Because like, I guess if we talk about the lyrics on 30, it's very much tracing an arc, isn't it? In terms of the story, her what she went through with a divorce and what happened after that and accepting yourself and all the things that you do as part of a big breakup. And then when you have a child who's caught up in all that and the feelings you have of, I guess, shame and embarrassment, maybe a little bit, or like worry about what you've done and all those kind of things. So there's a lot of that here. It's very, like, lyrically, it's quite straightforward in a way. I think probably the most like goth poetic line is literally the opening song on the album, which is Strangers by Nature, a song made with Ludwig Göransson, and it has a real like Hollywood classic string vibe going on. It's very much like a song
it's beautiful hear
as an interstitial in the Oscars. Do you know what I mean? It has that kind
absolutely
of vibe to it.
I absolutely love the production on that song, the kind of warbled gramophone effect, and I exactly think that you need that effect to underscore the melodrama of those lyrics, you know.
Yeah, I'll and be I taking think, flowers to the cemetery of my heart for all my lovers in the present and in the dark. That's like the first line of the album. You're
and I mean it's incredibly melodramatic and, you know, over the top, but I think it works because of that production. And I also love that she opens with this kind of very alto song, like she's singing in her low register, and, you know, I think her vocal control is just like outstanding all across the record, but it's really nice to hear her start out low, and then when she does reach up to that kind of headier voice later on in the song, she still maintains that control. It's brilliant. And then you have like the jazz chords, and it's just such a strong opener. I think Oscars is actually the perfect sort of, it has a real Oscars vibe, real old school Hollywood.
It reminded me of La La Land as well. That kind of feel, you know, it was like that kind of like, oh, it's classic Hollywood, kind of trying to recapture something.
Well, she does cite Judy Garland as like a big inspiration. I was watching her talk to Zane Lowe on her Apple Music interview, and she was talking about having watched Judy Garland's biopic, and I wonder how much of that kind of era seeped into this, because I think it's everywhere. I think it's all over the album, and at the times when she does something different, where she leans more into kind of modern pop, I think those are the points of the album that don't work as well for me. I think she should have gone all in with the strings and the big Hollywood sound. But
okay, well, let's talk about that then, because I do think there's a few different sides to this album, and there's a few different producers as well. So much of the album is made with Greg Kurstin, who's long been associated and working with Adele, and I think those tracks are, well, I mean, they're a mixed bag, like, because they're Easy On Me is a Greg Kurstin song. Then there's the third track on it, which is very interesting. I wasn't really expecting that to happen. It's about as introspective as Adele's going to get, using voice notes between her and her son, talking about
that. That seems to have divided people, actually. The idea of kind of using your son's response to your divorce, and as well her very in the moment responses, like there's moments where she's, you know, crying into whatever she's recording on, I assume her phone, like her voice notes.
Apparently
on her phone,
it was a message
she's crying
to a friend she sent.
Okay, yeah,
but
yeah,
you have
voice
to think
notes
about those things.
We have to do a podcast episode on voice notes in music, because they're bloody everywhere right now. That's divided people a bit, especially the use of her son's voice. I see why she did it. Like, I think it works very well within the production of the song.
It
sounds like memories. Obviously it remains to be seen how her son is going to feel about that later on in life. But, I think it's a beautiful way to kind of capture a very, very difficult conversation between a mother and and yeah, his son which you couldn't about something that he's too young to understand.
In a lyric so easily. Because there's like what she's talking to the child is like, mummy's been having a lot of big feelings recently.
And yeah, it's yeah.
Like, you know, it is relatable, but it's also like it takes you to that level of dialogue that you can have with a child where you couldn't really write that in lyrics.
Yeah.
And I think
if she sang mummy's been having a lot of big feelings, I don't think that the effect would be the same, you know.
But as well, because the song and the sentiments are allowed to breed with the like string passages that happen around it and the voice notes, it just kind of gives you something a bit different than most Adele's albums have given you in the past, as in it allows itself to be an album track and to be third on the record as well. It's very much like, by the time you get to that, I was like, okay, Strangers by Nature is like a string, lovely Hollywood vibe. Then you've got the single and then you've got this one. And I was like, are we being set up for a very introspective album here? It just feels like could have gone that way. Could have gone very much like immediately down into a much more introspective, and it doesn't go that way ultimately, of course, because this is an Adele album. She is like the biggest selling artist for many years. Like, she has 21 was the biggest selling album of all time, I think, and then 25 wasn't too far behind it. So, you know, there's a lot riding on Adele that isn't like, that is financial as well, that isn't, you know, that is a lot of people.
But I think she took more risks here than I expected her to.
It's certainly, and I think that's what 25 suffered with. It was like, it felt like bang, 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 bang. Here's what everyone expects of me, and slightly diminishing returns, because you're just like, well, here's that song. Here's this song. Yeah, okay, fine, I guess.
And I suppose she has the space now to, like you said, she has all of that success behind her and all that monetary success for her label behind her. So I know that when she was speaking with her label about the songs, she was telling, again, in that Zane Lowe interview, she was telling Zane Lowe about how TikTok came up in the conversation, and somebody from the label said, well, we need 14-year-olds to know who you are. And she responded by saying, like, 14-year-olds have mums, you know, that they're who I'm making. Where's the quote? If everyone is making music for TikTok, who's making music for my generation, for my peers? I'll do that job gladly. And I think that's, you know, she has the power now to turn around and say, no, I don't want to make songs that can be shared on TikTok, or that people can do dances to, or that people can make memes out of, because this is an album about my divorce, you know. Like, this isn't meme fodder. I'm not Justin Bieber, you know. I'm not The Weeknd. She's a completely different kind of artist to other pop artists. Like, she's a pop diva, and she
doesn't
sings.
collaborate, she doesn't do those things, she doesn't
no she doesn't
into the studio.
Yeah, she doesn't. You know, and she
no
shouldn't.
Rap features on Adele record.
No. No, and she shouldn't, because her standing within pop music is like, she is like the last of the great she's a representative of the great vocal divas. Ariana Grande is obviously a big vocal diva as well, but she's very much in the realm of pop music and TikTok and young people. So I love the idea that she said no to that and said, no, I'm actually going to, this is an album about my divorce. I'm not going to make it meme fodder, you know. We sort of skipped over Easy on Me a little bit when we were talking about those early tracks. I'd love to chat about Easy on Me, because I do think it's probably, like, if not the best song of the year, then probably in like the top three songs of the year. Like, I think it's such an outstanding song, and it's sort of
tell me what you love about it, because I struggle with it now. I wouldn't
really
my thing now. I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that it's a proper good old-fashioned song. I think, I mean, the chords are really well considered. There's a great sort of tension and release in the chords and in her vocals, and like what she does with her vocals in the song is just so outstanding, and something that you don't hear very often, because she is, like, at times, at one point in the chorus, she's quite pitchy. I think she sings a bit sharp on her way down when she's gone easy, I'm not going to sing it. And there's a couple of points later on where she's a bit sharp and she's singing in the room. There is not one bit of, she does not use autotune unless it's being used kind of as an instrument, which it is, I think, once or twice. Or not autotune, but at least vocal effects. There's no effects on this song. And I think when you listen to this song, all there is piano, vocals, there's bass that you can kind of barely hear, and a kick drum. But like when you think about the fact that there's only those four elements in the song and you think about how huge that song sounds, like you could kind of trick yourself into thinking that there was big swelling strings at one point in it, or that there was a big, you know, a big orchestra or brass behind her or something, but there isn't. And I think she gets so much out of those four things. I think it's a brilliantly produced song. It's so it's everything in its right place kind of thing. And I love how like the kind of that oscillating melody, those two notes that she kind of oscillates around in the run up to the chorus come back later in that like longer, like melismatic oscillation, vocal oscillation in the kind of the middle eight. And it's just, to me, this is a song like written by a singer. Do you know, this is a song written to get the best out of a vocal performance. And I find that quite rare in modern pop music, certainly.
Yeah, it's,
you
know, very old-fashioned.
It's really, really old. It's a good old-fashioned song because, like I mentioned...
It's not like pre-chorus on first so people get to know it, you know. It's
exactly, like, yeah. And I mentioned Ariana Grande, who obviously has an outstanding voice, but the way that she uses her voice will be more like, you know, a lot of melisma, but heavily kind of auto-tuned, and then there'll be one big high note at the end, and that's the big, you know, punchy moment. Whereas I think in Easy on Me, you get punchy moment after punchy moment that just hit you with how good she is at singing. Like, she is an outstanding vocalist. Like, she's unbelievable. And I think we've gotten so used, maybe, to her tone and even the way that she pronounces words when she's singing, that you can forget how beautiful it sounds. Like, it's very easy to forget how brilliant and unique she sounds when she's singing, because she's Adele and you kind of know what Adele sounds like. But when you try and strip everything away, like, this is a song I'd love to get the stems of and just listen to her vocal performance, because it isn't perfect. And I think that's one of the parts that I love about it. And I know a lot of people, a lot of music people, and less so critics, but more like musicians I've seen talking about this song, have just been blown away by what she does with her vocals and how she makes her pitchiness and those little imperfections work really, really well. So if that's not something you were listening out for before, I would recommend kind of giving it another listen with that in mind.
No, I do hear that. I definitely hear that. It's just, it's more like, you know, I guess I'm just not really drawn by... I'm impressed by her vocals, I am, but it's not really what I listen to music for, I guess. Do you know what I mean? I find it, I'm not unmoved by it, but it isn't what a characteristic of the music that I like, that I want to go back to all the time. I just find it like, yeah, obviously there's another song we talk about on this album which has that big moment, and it is absolutely impressive, but it wouldn't be the kind of thing that I want to go back to and listen to.
Okay.
You know, it's like, it's very unsubtle.
See, I love singers. I love Celine Dion. I love Barbara Streisand. Like, I love women who sing with like big vocals and work up to big moments and have that kind of like star power, and the ability to just shock you in a way that if you see somebody who is like a master of playing like the guitar or the piano or something. I think what I love about Adele is that she treats her voice as an instrument, and not just as a a carrier of lyrics. I mean, a lot of the time I'm not really listening to what she's saying because I'm just so blown away by how she sounds when she says it. So when I do go and listen to the lyrics along with it, I'm like, oh yeah, God, there's a lot of feeling in this, but I'm getting most of the feeling just from the sound of her voice, which is old school, you know? And I love that. I really love that song. That song's really grown on me a lot since it came out.
There's a lot of these songs they don't overdo the production. I think that's why ultimately this is a better album maybe than 25, because it doesn't overdo it. It doesn't try to, it doesn't need to, because like I said, her
So there's one song that I have a big problem with.
I think I know what it's going to be, but tell me.
Sorry, I have to find it actually. Can I Get It?
Tato.
Is that the song you thought?
Well,
okay. Do you feel the same?
Well, we go from Cry Your Heart Out, which is like the hook telling Adele to get out of her sweatpants and move on and move on up. And then,
is that the Wash Your Face one?
Cry Your Heart Out. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
and yeah, then, I like that. I can see that in a mug.
Oh My God, Greg Kurstin produced track, which is all bass, hand claps and backing vocals. But again, is that like, it doesn't overdo it. It's not like it has a synth or piano or anything. It's just very, very simple.
I really like that for how it kind of called back to Rolling in the Deep.
Yeah, okay.
I thought that was good.
And then you get, but there are touches of Ed Sheeran on that song that I don't like in the chorus. And then that's why.
But it's contained.
It's the most annoying.
it's awful. Like,
Max Martin and Shellback produced that one. It's got acoustic guitar. It's got whistling.
But it's got that Ed Sheeran acoustic guitar that has like no feeling in it. It's compressed to the point of just like, I don't know. And I mean, like, okay, Rolling in the Deep had a very compressed guitar in it, but it wasn't leading the song. You know, this is just so clinical, and
it just feels like it could be anyone's kind of pop, you know, acoustic guitar. And that's why I hate it as well.
I think she should have given it to someone else. I think she should have given it to a male singer-songwriter. It doesn't suit her vocals at all. I don't mind the verses at all, because I thought the verses were going to bring her, because there are these kind of little like whoop bits in the verses that I thought were a kind of maybe a more Serge Gainsbourg like vibe or style, and I thought that maybe that was the direction she was going to go with the chorus, but then the chorus is just like Sing by Ed Sheeran. Like it's not a good song at all. It has absolutely no business being on this album. This album's 12 songs long. Like, she could have absolutely lost this song, and I think it would have been, I probably would have given it like a higher score. I gave it 4 stars in the Irish Times, and I think it might have been pushed up to 5 if there was just a little bit of cutting on the songs that just didn't really need to be there. And that is a big one. That's bad.
Feels like, you know,
will we listen to it?
Wanted a hit. We have to get a hit.
Will we play it so that people can hear what we mean with the chorus?
Okay. All right.
I know.
Okay. Can I get it? Yes, you can. All right.
Can I get it right now? Can I get it right now?
All right, that was Can I Get It from Adele.
Like, where's the soul, Adele? Where's the emotion? Like, even her vocal performance in that song is so lackluster. I'm like, what? Like, what is this telling us? It's a song about nothing. Like, Can I Get It? What? What are you looking for? You're not telling us. It's
it's a just, booty call song, or she said it's not, and then I'm just like, whatever.
I just think everything about
it's a vapid, it's a vapid pop song that makes,
like, not an Adele song. This is you're better than this, Adele. Come on,
better
than this.
Okay, so I mean, that's track what, seven? Is that track six? That's track six. So we're halfway through here, and most of the rest of the album takes a different kind of tack, and it goes more balladry, it goes more soulful, it goes more, and there's a big reason for that for me. Well, Inflow, the producer behind Salt, produces three of these songs, and then Tobias Gesso Jr. is back again, that old 70s piano balladeer himself, which we haven't heard from for a while. Canadian guy, isn't he? He's a songwriter now. That's basically, he doesn't write his own music anymore. But he's on this. And then, well, immediately after Can I Get It, there's I Drink Wine, which is basically an Elton John song, which is,
I like, you know, this song.
Absolutely fine with that.
I love Elton John. I love this song.
It really leans into that, though. And like, I think that for that, it's like, you know, do it. Why not?
One
Why
great not? Vocalist, you know, like channeling the spirit of another, and great piano player as well. You know, I can see where the inception of that idea came from. I think Elton John's a very good comparison there. I really like I Drink Wine. She should have called it something else, I think. But
yeah, there's good lines on it though. So I hope I learn to get over myself. Everybody wants something, you just want me. Soaking it all up for fun, but now I only soak up wine.
Like, honestly, same, but I don't think that I'm not coming to an Adele album for those kind of like pithy, like winking at the camera lyrics. I go to Taylor Swift for that, you know. So I kind of come to Adele for something different, but this song is better than that. It's melody and drama and it is beautiful.
The next track is billed as an interlude, but it's basically a song. It's all called All Night Parking, and it has an Errol Garner piano sample throughout it. And to be honest, this is the kind of Adele I want. I mean, it's very, it's got something special to it. It's like, you know, mixing that old kind of jazzy style with an Adele.
It's got atmosphere.
Yeah, it's got real atmosphere.
It's the opposite to Can I Get It?
Yeah.
It has no atmosphere.
And I'm sure there's plenty of Adele fans who probably disagree with me, but they're not here to talk about it. But we will actually later on hear a bit.
Get your own podcast.
I don't know if you read the Guardian asked their readers for some reviews of the Adele album. I'm going to read a few out to you because they're very interesting.
Oh, brilliant. I haven't seen that. Oh, I'd love to hear that.
It's very good.
Great.
But I think, I guess it's no surprise that a couple of the songs from Inflow are amongst my favorites on this. I've been a big Salt fan for a while. Info obviously produced a lot of stuff with Little Sims and Michael Kiwanuka as well. Definitely a producer on the up the last few years. And I was very excited when I saw that Adele was doing stuff with Inflow, because I thought that's the kind of thing you can do. And I think they mostly nail this stuff. There's a lovely Woman Like Me's the song, the first one with Inflow. It's got a real reflective devastation to it. It's like, Adele is front and center, certainly, and the music supports her in the best possible way. You know, and obviously the song is a bit of a diss song to like a partner who was like, she's basically chiding her ex and for being complacent, and you ain't never had a woman like me. And loving you was a breakthrough. I saw only what my heart can really do. Now some other man will get the love I had for you because you don't care. So yeah, very direct as well. And you know, it's got that kind of shade that makes sense in the context of where she's been. It's also got a fade out. The song has a fade out, which
I know, which I am usually heavily, heavily against fade outs. I really don't like them. I think the only song that is allowed to have a fade out is God Only Knows. And everything else, no. I find them lazy. I need resolution. And that's something you usually get from Adele, actually, in terms of like, you know, tonality and stuff. But I'll forgive her this fade out because it probably wasn't her decision. But yeah.
Yeah.
Strike two, Adele.
Oh. And I think, obviously, then Hold On is a good song. It has her friends doing the choir kind of part where they're singing like to support her. There's good lines there, like sometimes loneliness is the only rest we get. It's a good track, and then that leads us into To Be Loved.
And sorry, we should say as well, Hold On, but like Woman Like Me is 5 minutes, Hold On is 6:06.
Yeah, so
To Be Loved is 6:43, yeah. And Love Is Game is 6:43, so they're very long. To Be Loved is the only one of this run where I really feel it's almost 7 minute long. Kind of runtime. It does.
And I think it has to be because of the nature of it. It's like, it is the big Adele vocal trademark. It's like
absolutely.
The one with Tobias Estrella. It's the piano ballad where her voice is really going for it. Let it know that she tried, she reached, she hit those notes, she shattered that glass and distorted that microphone with her voice. It's the big belter. It's the belter of a vocal where, you know, almost like the camera, the microphone is panning back from her because she's so powerful. I think even the very closing vocal is quite far away from her, the microphone, because she's so loud. And it does distort the microphone a bit.
But I love that. I love that there's the inclusion of those imperfections, and that's something that I've grown to really love about Adele's vocal performances, is that she sounds like a human being when she's singing, and you do get a sense of the space in the room. Like you said, she's moving away from the mic because she has to, because she'll fucking break it otherwise. For me, that song's it's just too long. I think maybe that's the only song where I was sort of dragged down a bit by the lyrics. I don't think the lyrics were very, very strong on that song, and given how foregrounded they are, maybe I would have liked I don't want to say better lyrics, but maybe just fewer. But I mean, you can't deny her vocal performance on it is outstanding. And, you know, that goes across the record as well. So,
yeah. I think for a lot of fans, that is something that they're looking for. They're looking for that big moment from her, which is understandable. You know, I mean, I think that's what it definitely provides. That it's the big, well, I mean, there's a big proper curtain closer. Love Is a Game is...
I'm much more here for that kind of, again, just like dripping an atmosphere, like strings, gorgeous. And then Adele's just swept up in the middle of all this drama that's just like swirling around her. It's a really good closer.
Well, this song apparently was written while Breakfast at Tiffany's was playing on the television in the studio when she recorded it, and saying it's the end song the movie should have had. It's got a bit of an Amy Winehouse vibe as well, a little bit. And maybe that's just Love Is a Losing Game reference for me.
That's the first thing I thought literally as well.
But it's
contemporaries as well. So.
Sweeping string orchestral curtain closer brings it right back after building it up with an organ and just takes off. And
The organ throughout the record is lovely. I would have really liked to hear more tracks using the organ. I love an organ. I love organ and vocals together. I'm just yes, please.
So I'm gathering,
so sad and bluesy.
You know, you're a fan of this album. You're a fan of this.
I am. Yeah. I mean, I think it's by no means perfect. I don't think it's 12 perfect songs, but I think it's 11 songs that work very well together and show a growing confidence in somebody who wrote this music at a time in their life when you can imagine confidence was probably in quite short supply. So for me, I love that she's branched out with the production. I love that she's leaning into her kind of her new role as Adele, you know, as this big superstar, and that she's bringing that into the production, and she's not only relying on her vocals, which are outstanding obviously, but she's not only relying on her vocals to make those big moments shine through. I think it's a very considered album. It's not perfect. I gave it 4 stars. I think I'm happy enough with 4 stars. Like it might be a 3.5 to 4, you know, you might be rounding that up a little bit, but it's an album that I'd still want to spend more time with. So that's, you know, that's good. How about you?
Positive outcome. Mm. Yeah, like I said, it's probably not really like an Adele album. It's not something I really delve into. Every now and again, there'd be a song I'm like, I really want to hear that again. Like Rolling in the Deep is the all-timer for me. And but that's just because it has that kind of like classic soul to it. I'd love to hear her do more of that on her own terms. And I think she will probably in the future. Although I guess because she's so, you know, popular and because she doesn't have to, you wonder what comes next after all of this. You know, I mean, this was delayed. I mean, 30, does 30 become 40? You know what I mean? Like, do you release an album called 36, 35? Yeah. Like, what happens next, you know? She doesn't really have to, you know, follow this up in any like great way or do anything. It doesn't seem like she can do everything on her own terms, and that's the gigs can do on her own terms. She can do the specials on her own terms, all those things. And I think, you know, there are obviously, she's beyond like most artists' popularity. She's so huge in terms of this. So even the people kind of go, oh, I don't really like this that much. I think there's enough people here that will, in the world, that will fall over when they hear an Adele song, that it will really matter.
And I think it's not just Adele fans. I think musicians like Adele, critics like Adele, like people who love music love Adele because she understands music and she understands songwriting and she understands performance and she understands this business we call show, you know. So she's the kind of the perfect person to kind of move through this kind of new world of music that we're all, you know, people our age are kind of still getting used to, like TikTok and like streaming and, you know, these kids. And I don't know, for an
I like that she's sticking apart from that. I like that she's decided, no.
And I mean, we haven't mentioned it, but like, I mean, I think a big part of this kind of old school, you know, musician making an album was that she convinced Spotify or asked Spotify to get rid of the shuffle button as a default on all albums. And they did it. And I think that speaks to the fact that she believes this album to be a narrative. And that, but further than that, she believes that all albums and their sequencing have a kind of a sacredness to them. And I'm fully in agreement with that as well. Like, I think that a well-sequenced album can bring a 3-star album up to a 4-star album. Do you know what I mean? Like, getting the sequencing wrong on an album can be completely detrimental to it. So I love that she did that and that she is making the case for the more old school way of distributing and listening to music. And as an album lover, I love that she did that.
Yeah, I actually had never really noticed that shuffle album.
Well, Niall, probably because you're like me, when you press play on an album, do you press play on the big green button or do you press play on the first song? Yeah, first song. So, and this is because we're of the like iTunes and Winamp and Media Player generation where we had to do that. Whereas the younger kids, they see the big green play button and they press that. So it shuffles for them. It's so funny though, because I've asked loads of people my age, like, have you ever noticed this? And they're like, no. And I've been like, well, how do you play your albums? They're like, I press the first song on the album. And I'm like, there you go. Like, it's really interesting. But anyway, that it's gone now. Man. And if you do, for any reason, want to shuffle your album, the option's still there for you. You just have to kind of go and find it. But like, just know that you are listening to music wrong. You are.
Like, you are. You're doing it wrong.
I'm sorry. Like, you know, I tweeted about it, like saying, if you shuffle albums, I will call the police on you. Like, I think it's just an insane thing to do.
Well, you know, I think the thing we like, Adele has everyone behind her still. Like, she's, you know, I mean, I said it before, she was my second ever face-to-face interview. I interviewed her before Chasing Pavements came out and all that. And yes. It was in Dublin, in Brooks Hotel. And it was very small, obviously. XL, you know, she was there to do a gig in Crawdaddy that night. I went to her hotel room. God,
the idea.
She chatted to me while she did her makeup. Do you know that kind of way? And,
was she lovely?
She was so nice. And we did a photo shoot afterwards where literally there was three of us, you know, outside. And no one recognized her. Obviously, and no one knew who she was.
Doing her own makeup and everything. Yeah. I love that.
And she was so charming and so lovely. Because that's not always the case. And a lot of artists, you know, I won't name names, but there's some artists who are still around and or shouldn't be or who have disappeared where you've talked to them and they just don't give you any time.
Yeah.
Or they're not. You can tell me off air. Anyway. Yeah, I will. But yeah, that can happen an awful lot. And and I mean, she was very young at that point, but like, I still have a lot of respect for her. You know, like I still felt like, you know, I had a lovely time chatting to her in that way. Yeah. You know, it was an interview, but yeah. I had a lovely time.
I love that when you interview someone kind of early in their career and you see them go on to great success, you kind of feel like, oh, that's my mate.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but
I was there.
I definitely, I mean, no one could have seen at that point the interstellar status of Adele and where that was going, Adele Atkins. So, yeah, I wanted to read out a couple, just a few of the Guardian reader reviews for you.
Yes, I'm so excited for this.
Okay, so the first one is from Robert Carty, who's 53, an accountant from Dublin, right?
Oh, hello, he Robert, says, if you're listening.
It doesn't start off great. My Little Love is awful and is the worst Adele song by far. The album gets going at song 4, Cry Your Heart Out, but trails off towards the end. I think perhaps a bit of pruning would have helped instead. I think he agrees with that. And maybe making it around 45 minutes or so. From the tie of 21, the albums are starting to get weaker. Thank you, Robert. So Hannah, who is 27 and a farmer from Kent, says, I am a huge Adele fan, having loved her since the Chasing Pavements days. There isn't a single song I've disliked until this album. I can understand songs tell stories, however, it is still a song to be sung along to, and I don't want to have to stop singing a belter out every 30 seconds to hear someone's son's voice. Listening
That's
to her songs.
Very good point.
Listening to her songs, I can't help but feel slightly detached from them. This is a woman singing about life events that most of us have to go through and should be relatable. I can't see myself belting out any of these songs after a few glasses or when I fancy a pity party after my boyfriend has annoyed the hell out of me. Unfortunately, I think it's probably the weakest of all her albums. The idea of listening to her songs as if it was a novel unfolding is a really unique idea. However, in this day and age, when you're downloading songs digitally and not forced to listen to them in a particular order on a CD, or if you don't particularly like tracks 1 to 4, then having an order to listen to this song is irrelevant and just a bit of a gimmick.
Oh,
now,
of listening to it to an album in its intended sequence is a gimmick.
Yeah, it's a gimmick. this is Alex, who's 57, a government worker from Melbourne, Australia. I think 30 is a natural progression, but after listening, I immediately thought, I can't wait to hear the next album. Like, okay, she's got this out of her system now. Let's hear that voice sing to us in joy and fun. Apart from a couple of tracks on 30, I think 25 will still be my go-to album. So thank you, Alex, for that. Thank you, Hannah. And thank you, Robert from Dublin. So yeah, I just thought it was in. That was 3. And I mean, there were some positive ones as well.
I think all 3 people there made a very good point, but especially the second person, Hannah, about kind of the sing-along ability or the hum ability of a song. Because I'm not a kind of a pop listener, usually like I'll listen to pop stars that I like or who I think are doing interesting things. Homability isn't a big factor for me. I'm a more introspective listener, I think. But this being a pop album and Adele being a pop star, I think that's a very good point, well made, from Hannah, 27, farmer in Kent.
Very much enjoyed that, now I have to say. So that is, if you want to see that, it's Reader's Review, Adele's 30, on theguardian.com. You can see that there.
I hope they do more of those. That's cool.
And there's pictures of everybody as well, or most of them anyway. So it's worth having a look at. Well, thank you, Adele, for contributing to our content creation this week.
Thanks, Adele. You're welcome on anytime.
Oh, we do. I was actually looking back for the audio of that interview recently, and I know it's out there somewhere, and like it's on a computer, it was on a hard drive. I couldn't find it. It was one of those things last year. I was like, that'd be a great time to find, go and listen to the audio of you, like me, interviewing Adele and see what it's like and just listen to it. Fortunately, I could not find it.
Be very difficult for you to listen to.
Oh, like, yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it would
Given
be.
It was your second ever interview. And
and that was like the first one only happened earlier that week. So,
don't put yourself through that.
Yeah.
But I can't listen back to interviews when I'm transcribing them a day later, let alone, however many years that is. But yeah. Thanks, everyone. If you're down in Dingle, so we've got the Discord, patreon.com /Nile or 9 if you want to join it. Some of us in the Discord are going to have a little meetup.
It's a big part.
Yeah, it's part of the Patreon, but you also get other stuff like playlists and things. And some of us are going to meet up down there. And if you're down there, you see us about, like, let's get a drink or something.
Especially say hello to Andrea, because she's never out much. And, you know,
I'm really nervous. Oh, also, like, if I do know you from Twitter or whatever, and you say hi to me and I don't know who you are, I have, like, quite acute face blindness. So just, you know, bear with me, anyone who I've been emailing or anything. Just,
well, I found out it's been quite difficult.
I also don't wear my glasses ever. So, like, whenever anyone's across the street, I'm like squinting over. It could be like my mom or my best friend in the world. And I'll be like, is that? So, yeah.
Well, don't worry about it. We will let you know if there's someone.
Yeah, just do a big wave at me when you see me, Niall. Yeah. Well, you'll be the guy behind the deck. So you're pretty easy to spot.
Yeah. That's right. That's great.
Yeah. So what time are you and where?
Oh, 7 p.m. I'm on between all the acts on Saturday in the Hillgrove, which is the big nightclub in Dingle. So cool. Should be interesting. Yeah, should
and
be
I'm
good.
2 p.m. on Sunday in Foxy's and I will not be playing any music. You'll be glad to know.
Very good. Very good.
Okay.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Arts Review of the Year.
Very good. So are we talking about Sally Rooney?
We might be.
We might be.
We may.
Okay, I want to talk to you about this off air.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, look.
All right. Bye.
That's the 909 podcast. It's 909.com. We're on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and Discord through the Patreon as well. So, yeah, 909 on every platform pretty much. And Andrea, you have a ghost newsletter.
I'm at Andrea_Cleary_ on my Twitter and Instagram. And my ghost newsletter is andrea-cleary.ghost.io.
Yeah, and you have a podcast as well, a separate podcast.
Oh, and I have a podcast. It's In Between Seasons. My favorite album with Andrea Cleary, returning in 2022.
Get that where you get all your podcasts. Right. That's it. We're going off to Dingle. We'll see you soon. And chat to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.